If it's Monday, it must be time to find out what is going on in the world of art, and that means that the blinking line is, in fact, Annie Dugan. Howdy there, sunshine.
Good morning, Lisa. If we ever need art more, it's when snow drizzle is in the forecast. That is a phrase that maybe a poet would love, but I don't know.
It's good in poetry, in a forecast. Yeah, maybe not so much.
Maybe not so good. Well, I wanted to chat because you often post some really fabulous art articles, art news, et cetera, and you posted two really fascinating things on my feed this week that I wanted to mention. The first involving two of your favorite things, books and art. The Met just released 576 free art books. So these are publications that they have done throughout their history as an institution. The Met, Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, is this grand encyclopedic institution that has a collection that spans the globe, that spans time, and they do an amazing series of exhibitions throughout the year, and now they're releasing the exhibition catalogs and essays and symposium information that they do, you know, out on their website. And I took a look through some of the books, and just in the last year, there are some real standout pieces that folks can access for free. And I should also say that they have on their website, along with some other institutions, some really incredible digitization of their artwork that they've released for free. So a couple of the publications that I just want to mention that are worth looking through is one is Apollo's Muse. We just had our full moon, you know, a few days ago, and it's all about the moon in the age of photography. It's a really fascinating look at that particular celestial body and how we've understood it through photographs. There's a whole series. The Met does a really amazing program every summer on their rooftop gardens. They commission a sculpture for the rooftop gardens, and every year they do a publication for that. So it was really fun to look through and remember, you know, because there's always a big splash for what artists is picked and what they end up doing up there. And so it was really fun to go back and see throughout the years the different sculptures that have been part of that program. And in doing the research on the Met books, I also found that the Getty Museum, which is the sort of similar encyclopedic institution in Los Angeles in California, they have publications online. They have about 250, and the Guggenheim as well. So they have the Guggenheim has over 100 as well, and the Guggenheim does some really fascinating work with modern and contemporary artists. So there really is something for everybody when you look through these. It's a wonderful rabbit hole during that snowy drizzle to find yourself on these sites looking through free art books.
Well, not only that. I mean, if somebody comes and looks over your shoulder and says, "Are you working? What are you doing?" And there you are at the Met browsing art books. Even if you're goofing off, it's a really highbrow goofing off.
Right. You might want to just do it in public.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm thinking, you know, what boss in their right mind is going to be, stop looking at art at the Met and get back
to... Just say, look at all my gray cells expanding as we speak.
There you go.
Watch me browse and watch my gray cells expand as well.
I love it.
And then the other one is one that I'll talk about in January because MIA is releasing its call for entries in January for this exhibition that they're doing called Foot in the Door Number 5. So every 10 years, so you can do the math, this has been going on for 50 years, the MIA offers anyone who wants to submit a work will get it put on view. It'll be put up for exhibition. I think MIA has been trying to grapple with the fact that they are an encyclopedic institution and dealing with the colonization implications that has and dealing with the implications that systematic institutions have been complicit in a lot of the issues of racial inequities inequities in general. And I think that this is one piece. I was there a couple weeks ago with students, and I saw that they were trying to do ways of recontextualizing their work that that is more inclusive. And I think this is this foot in the door project is one of those things. So the only sort of specifications that they have right now are the pieces that people submit for exhibition have to be less than a foot in dimension. So you can have two-dimensional, three-dimensional, but it has to be less than a foot. And they'll release the guidelines in January of 2020, and the show will be on view this summer from July through August. So,
all right, so here's my question.
For that. Yeah.
Here is my question. I am envisioning a room, and the room is basically papered floor to ceiling with 1 foot by 1 foot squares, and it's everybody's artwork. And there's maybe, in my imagination, there's maybe, you know, a couple of inches of space around each one. But, I mean, billions of people, even though there aren't that many in Minnesota, but all these people have submitted stuff. If everybody can submit stuff, and if there are going to be so many, I'm guessing, entries in the show, what's the point for the artist? I mean, I get what the point would be for an audience, for example, you know, to walk through and kind of look at this stuff, but there'd be so much that could you really take in and absorb what it is that you're looking at? And as an artist, to have a piece, I mean, you could say, I had a piece at the MIA, but to have a piece that's comparatively small, surrounded by everybody else's piece.
Right.
I'm kind of wondering, what's the upside to the whole thing?
It's to be part of a conversation. I mean, I think that this is certainly not the end-all, be-all for you know, making sure that people's voices are included. And there's a lot of work that needs to happen besides this. This I see for artists as more of, you know, this is a fun opportunity to celebrate, you know, all of the amazing voices that we have. So, you know, it is, you're adding your, you know, it's the same reason why should I vote? You know, one little vote doesn't matter. One little piece in this show doesn't matter. Well, showcasing, I think Minnesota has been amazing with the kind of support for artists as well as the kind of energy in the arts community, and I think that this is a way to showcase that as well. So, you know, the fact that they can get 10,000 pieces on view, that was for the last exhibition 10 years ago, they got 10,000 pieces. So how many are they going to get this year when they do it? So I think that it's to showcase, to just be part of that wonderful energy that is the arts in Minnesota. And it's, you know, sort of like, I'm doing it, why don't you do it? And I'm doing it, why don't you? You know, you can just sort of get a community together that is going to create, you know, maybe you say like, okay, we're all going to do, you know, variations on this one thing. Or you can sort of imagine that there almost would be potential for rallying around, you know, could you sort of have fun with the system as well?
I'm wondering if there's the potential for the discovered at the lunch counter at the Five and Dime moment. I mean, are important art people, in all caps, going to be wandering around looking at this? I mean, are they going to find the next best thing or something? And are they going to jot down the artist's name and contact information and get in touch with them and say, I'm going to make you a star?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it's just one more opportunity for people to get their work seen. So it's, you know, it is in when you're mixed in with a lot, it's really hard, but it is a potential. I mean, I think of like the membership show at the Duluth Art Institute. It's a similar sort of collaboration of voices across abilities, across mediums, but you have this kind of you have these kinds of discovery moments for artists or artwork that, you know, because you wouldn't necessarily see them in any other context. It's, you know, oh, I need to find out more about this artist. There's there's definitely potential for that. So I think it's a conversation that we will continue to have for sure. And I'm excited to see what happens when they set it up.
And when the exhibit opens, we've had this conversation before. When the exhibit opens, it sounds like it would be a great plan to view a portion of the exhibit and then go have something to eat and then come back.
Yes.
And
Coffee,
view another chunk.
Teacher, my art history teacher in college always said, you cannot go 2 hours without a refreshment when you're in an institution or a museum. You must take breaks.
Well, in order to try to absorb a little bit and pay attention and really observe what it is that you have been looking at and take a little bit of time to kind of reflect, have a little lunch, have a little coffee, clear your artistic palate, go back in, take another bite.
You must, yes. It is the way the brain works.
I think you and I should go. I think you and I should go together. We should run tape, and we should take in the exhibit. I think that would be fabulous. Just
a
thought.
It's a plan.
All right.
We've got our summer plan.
All right. Excellent. Good to have a plan.
I love it. Yes. Yes. Well, and I do have to mention there are things happening locally this week. I just want to do a quick shout out. Wednesday evening, there is a TED-style event at Teatro Zuccone called Creativity, Carefully Unfolding the Embrace. It's Cheryl Fostick, who is an architect in town, is doing is leading a talk and discussion along with a short TED video on the four lessons in creativity. So this is sort of an expansive way of thinking and I love the way she's phrased that, carefully unfolding the embrace of creativity. This is a week of poetry in the art world. I love the way that she's thought about how creativity can be this wonderful thing that holds us, and then how do you sort of take it and use it to your advantage. So that is 7:15 this Wednesday. Friday is a double whammy right around the corner. Tischer Photography is having their two-year anniversary in customer appreciation. This is Ryan Tischer, who has a photography exhibition space right on Superior Street. And you can curve around the corner and go up to the Prove Gallery because they're having their closing exhibition event for Robert Percorni, whose large-scale paintings have been on view and have really been a wonderful thing to enjoy and see. So if you haven't seen those or if you've seen them and need to say goodbye, you can do that Friday at 4 p.m. And then you can come back to the Prove on Saturday because this is a fourth in a series of artist-led workshops that they've done. And this one is being led by Flo Metamores. It's called Zine Workshop, Self-Love Club and Forgiveness. And Flo practices sort of what I would call radical self-love. This is not, when we talk about self-love, and especially when we think about it in the way that Flo practices it through her artwork and through her freedom of living, is it's not the self-care of facials and pedicures. You know, sure, that can be part of it, but it's about really finding a way to positively move forward with yourself and with your relationship to others, your relationship with the earth, your relationship with how you're being a human. And she has some really amazing stories to tell in that regard, and to think about the role that art can play in that kind of radical self-love and forgiveness, I think is really important to hear. So she's going to speak about that. She's also going to do a zine workshop as well, so you can bring some magazines to cut up and realign and do some wonderful collaging, or you can use what is there. They will have materials as well, but that'll be a fabulous event to end out our week.
Fantastic. There's a bunch going on. Is that it? There's a bunch going on, Annie, as usual. And we thank you for keeping your finger on the pulse of the artistic scene here in the community. We'll talk again in a week.
Thanks, Lisa.
Annie Dugan, our host for Where's Art, a regular feature of Mondays at 8:20 right here on KUMD.